I've got something for that he just kind of dropped in my heart here today. And it goes a lot to some of the things we've already experienced in worship, his presence. You know, a lot of the songs that we have, as wonderful as they are in expressing something, man, I was having a conversation with, or I was just talking to God about it. I said, man, our best efforts are such, they're such understatements. You know what I mean? It's just so far from declaring how great God really is. He's really amazing. And I want to say some words today. The bottom line, the crux of what I want to get to today is we have some days we're going to go through. And you know, it's interesting how these holidays can be some of the most depressing times that people go through. You know, the people experience things. And even as Christians, we can get caught up in the hubbub, in the traffic, you know, the people. but I want us to be able to not have a sense of drawing back into something this in these days that remain. I just want to encourage us in this. But for us to actually have an expanded experience in the reason for this time. And I don't want it to just be a cliche, you know, he's the reason for the season. Sometimes we can get into, you know, just saying things. I want us to, if we really know him, I'd like for us to be able to advance in that during this time. And we're going to see that it's not something that will be just for us either. It's going to be, the world needs to actually see that people know God, that it's a real thing. Amen? It's kind of like we were praying over our children. It's not enough to just pray for our children. We need to change. We become the best use of God in bringing change to somebody when we submit to change ourselves and actually live in some victory ourselves. Amen? So, let's go to the Father and ask for some help with this. Father, we thank you so much that, Lord, we don't have to figure things out ourselves. We don't have to come up with all the answers ourselves. But you've given us a guide on the inside. You've given us a teacher. And you said that teacher would guide us into all truth and that we'd be able to walk with confidence. We don't have to wonder if we're going the right way or not, God. That Spirit comes to let us know for sure on the inside. And so, Father, we just ask for that today. Lord, I thank you for your word. Lord, we're going to depend on your word today. Lord, but I pray that from your word would come revelation. Lord, that would bring breakthroughs in people's lives and to bring hope and to bring peace and rest that is your passion in your heart for each one. We give you thanks for it in Jesus' name. So I want to talk about encounters today. You know, if you travel very much, you encounter people of all different kinds of cultures. Just going to the airport, how many have flown? You know, and just in the terminal. But I was thinking about it. You know, there's all these people, and you can just sit there and watch everybody. And to some extent, every person that you have an encounter with affects you to some. You have an opinion that you make. You have a preconception. You know. You put people into categories, and you think, well, that person looks like their dog. You know, and it's like, But what's amazing is everybody is somebody. You know what I mean? And whether they look like it or not, they can really be somebody. It's like. Oh, I had a niece or a nephew, you know, that met this person that they had seen on TV or something, and they went up to him and they said, "Do you know who you are?" You know, it's like this person. It's like who are they really? And of all the people like walking through the terminal, there could be somebody that is you know, a great life world changer that you don't even know it. They might carry with them the exact answer for something that you have in your life right now. You know, and it's like they're right there. So for each encounter to have its effect, it's going to be affected by knowledge. Can we just kind of go with me on this a little bit here? First of all, you have to know that they're there. Have you ever been in a crowd and you didn't feel like anybody even knew that you were there? You know, there has to be a knowledge of awareness of just being there. But then the more familiarity you have with them and with their gifting and with what they can actually do, it changes your encounter with them, doesn't it? It affects them. So I just have a couple examples real quick because I was working at a job several years ago where it was like a service kind of a job. And, all right, I was a valet. And I was working as a valet, and in the middle of the night, and this truck pulls up, gets out, and the family gets out. There's some kids and a wife. And you, as a valet, you're supposed to get their information, first of all, the name. So I go to the wife. She gives me the name. And then she gives, you know how, like, this is the name? I would, if I told you some people, you would know this name right now because a pro free safety that won a Super Bowl. And so, from UT. Yeah. And so, zoop, went right over my head. I should have known this name. I mean, it's not like I'm not a pro football fan or anything, but just went right over my head. And the guy gets out, and this is what's really amazing, is I couldn't have picked him out of a crowd to be a free safety, Pro Bowl free safety. He's my size. Anybody my size can't be that great, you know what I'm saying? No, this is football. See how much knowledge has to do with these things? We planned this. No. But he was an amazing, if I would have known who he was, I would have been getting my picture with him, you know? I had no clue who this guy was. I had to go find out later who he was, you know? And actually, he won the Super Bowl that year. And but my lack of knowledge made me totally clueless to who he was. On another note, I was this is like back in the 90s, I think. Remember when they were doing the Promise Keeper things? You know, and they still have them? Do they really? Okay. Well, they were doing one in Atlanta, and it was for clergymen. It was really cool. Because it was all, I mean, they filled up this great big stadium with just clergymen. Now, it's really interesting, though, because, I mean, they're from all different, you know, beliefs. And I'm sitting next to these people with collars and all this kind of stuff. And just a side note, you know, Jack Hayford came out on the platform, and he's talking about, he's so, I don't know if anybody knows who Jack Hayford is, but he's a really kind of a stoic, kind of just talks real drony kind of, you know. And he gets up and he says, you know, I just want everybody to stand up and let's just dance before the Lord. You know, there wasn't like a big band going on and everybody, you know, like pumping everybody up and everything. But I'm standing up there with all these like really legitimate, you know, people in robes and stuff. And we just start dancing before the Lord. I mean, it was just precious. It was a really wonderful time. But in Atlanta, I don't know if anybody's gone to the Atlanta airport, but there's trains that you have to take, right? They go take you from different places. And I'm in one of those trains, you know, where you have to hang on to the thing or you're going to fall down. And I look over, and I did recognize somebody. It was Reinhard Bonnke. Anybody know who Reinhard Bonnke is? He's a German evangelist that had, like, huge meetings, like, in Africa and stuff like that. Anyway, you know, it changes my encounter with him. He wasn't just anybody on that train anymore. He's Reinhard Bonnke. And I'm telling you about it right now. And it happened several years ago. Why? Because it wasn't just any encounter. It was something that made an impact on me. Right? I'm just wanting to impress and say, God, take me to a place where your presence isn't just a song that I enjoy, but it's a presence that I'm impressed with. Amen? Man, our Savior, Jesus Christ. There should never be a reason, and please, I'm not coming against anybody, but there's a reason why David said, "Why so downcast, oh my soul? Don't you see who's in your presence right now?" Can you see that? If you only knew who's with you right now. Amen? There shouldn't be any reason to have a downcast. Now we do, and God's so wonderful, he doesn't judge us for it. But he says, "But here I am." Is that right? Can we just look at some scriptures about this? Because there's an effect that's made in each encounter that does something to us. And this is part of the necessity. The more we praise him, we've been talking about praise a lot, haven't we? The more we praise him, what we're doing, we're saying, "Oh, that's the one I'm in the presence of. Oh, that's how great he is. Oh, that's how much of an answer he has to something in my life." What keeps us from having every need met in our life? What did Jesus say? He said, "Only believe." What are we believing? That we're not just in the presence of anybody here. We're in the presence of the one with the answer to exactly what we're going through. Is that right? But I don't know about you. I need elevation of this belief. Remember, the disciples said that. Help us with our belief. Help us to do this, right? So there needs to be that. And how's it going to happen? It's going to happen. Praise is going to be a big part of that. Well, that's why we got to be praising. We can't be declaring the other things. Amen? But this Savior that we have in our presence right now, he needs to be magnified. Amen? And he can be before we get to Christmas. We don't have to wait till the Christmas program. We're going to have a wonderful time next week. We're going to talk about the reign of peace. Aren't you glad that he's come to have a kingdom of peace in our hearts? Amen? It's directly connected to what we're going to talk about here today. But I want us just to know that this, we can walk in this. We can live in this. Amen? So let's just go through some of these notes I have here. Kind of reiterate what I've already said here. Everything about how someone is treated has to do with knowledge. Now, this has to do with how we're going to treat somebody else and how we're getting treated. Is that right? Of their presence. Okay, we have to know that they're there, right? Can't get mad if they don't even know we're there. Of them, their ability, their personality, their nature, their position, right? If they're a police officer, we're going to treat them a little bit different, right? If they're a famous person, I already said that, we're going to treat them a little bit different. Some people get inspired to start talking a lot. I kind of feel like I need to shut up. You know, around those kind of people. Anyway, so let's go on to the next one. Depending on who they are, your knowledge of them will directly impact you. Now, it affects us on some level, everybody that we're encountering. It's adjusting because we're acknowledging who they are. And we do, right? But it's going to affect how our day's going. It's going to affect our outlook. and our attitude. So, how we're impressed by somebody isn't just for them. It changes us. If you can go with me on this, we'll continue with this, okay? All right? So, I just want to look at, first of all, there is a reality, and this is a great temptation, and David wrote Psalms about this. Where are you, God? Are you ever going to show up? I need you. Where are you? Get to work, right? But what did Jesus say? And let's look at Matthew 28:20. Now, well, let me read this. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this. Be sure of this. Be sure of this. Can you say, be sure of this? All right. I am with you. Always, even to the end of the age. Amen? That's what Emmanuel means, isn't it? God with you. That means the knowledge part of whether or not he's here or not needs to be removed. Amen? But that's not going to be an easy thing to do all the time. I don't know about you, but especially when I'm alone sometimes, it's not completely overwhelming. I love this morning singing about how about his presence. And I love JP comes up here and starts praying next to me. And I encourage you, man, if we're worshiping God and you just feel like you just want to come up here and bury your face and just seek him, amen. Come up and do it. And how wonderful that is. And just a side note, well, let me not hit that note yet. I'll save that note for later. Okay. But he says, reality check here, whether you feel like it or not, whether it's overwhelming and you just break down into tears or whatever because my presence is so strong, whether or not you feel that or not, I am there. Amen? That needs to be taken away as any reason to not be affected by an encounter with God. Amen? Because the enemy wants to do that. Oh, you're not feeling it. He must not be there. You're not feeling that anointing, so he must not be there. No, he said, I'm there to the end of the age. Don't you like that about him? He's not like other people or other entities. He says, I'm going to be here no matter what. Amen? I'm not going anywhere. Okay. So we got the first knowledge part out of the way. I didn't have a whole bunch of points there, did I? Just a few. But we need to get that now. Who is this being that's with us now? And everything that begins to be declared about him from that point on can become a point of knowledge of who we're in the presence of, an effect of the encounter there. Can you see that? Amen. All right. So knowing reverses roles. There's a wonderful, this is a wonderful story about, remember Jesus is encountering. All right, we'll go to some side notes. You want a side note? All right. Kim says, oh my goodness, here. It's interesting to me how God, when he does some like major stuff, doesn't use any of the religious people that you would expect him to use at all. You know, and this is kind of what got me started on this. The birth of Jesus is in a manger, and the first guys that show up are some shepherds out in a field. What qualifies anybody to actually have an encounter with him is somebody that has the time and that's looking in the right direction. Is that right? They were looking up into the heavens, weren't they? They weren't religious at all. And who else showed up? Well, it was later on, but the wise men. And why? Because they were looking in a place. They were searching. They were seeking. They were going in the direction that he could be found. Amen? This is a critical part of it. There's got to be time set aside for him. Yeah. Amen? Especially in the busy time, we're going to have to dislocate from the things of the world and say, okay, if I'm going to see him, if this one that is there for me right now already, whether I sense him or not, if I'm going to have an encounter with him that's going to make a difference, that's going to make a change in me, first of all, I'm going to have to look his direction. I'm just going to need to be looking his direction. It's amazing how effective that alone can be. Just look his direction. You know, I've got a close friend that's in a different way of belief. I won't even go into what it is exactly. He believes in Jesus, but it's not quite the same as what I've grown to know. And it's fun with him to just not contest with him on points, but to say, just keep looking at him. Just keep seeking him. He will reveal to you the truth if you just keep looking to him. Amen? It doesn't matter how great Jesus is, that he's here with us right now, if we're not looking at him. Amen? We have to be looking his direction and actually wanting to get more in that gaze. Oh, what else is there there? Amen? There has to be a hunger. Who gets filled? Those who hunger and thirst. Amen? So there has to be that looking that direction, right? So this is a lady that's hungry. She doesn't really know it yet, but remember, she was a worldly lady that Jesus met at the well, right? And she offers to give him water. And this is such a precious statement that comes back from him. Jesus replied, if you only what? Knew. It's just, if you only knew. Did you know that for everybody that Jesus came to save, the only separation from them is knowing. If they could only know him. Is that right? Yeah. Not just know about him. Know him. Amen? If you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me and I would give you living water. There's a looking to the world to get everything that we need that God wants to shift. And he's wanting us to say, there's a knowing of me that you're not going to be asking the world for it anymore. Right. You're going to come to me for it. Amen? Right. You're not going to feel like you need to supply it anymore. It's going to come from me. Amen? But what does it take? It takes that revelation. If you only knew, you would ask me. And I would give you water. I would give you what you need. I'd fill you up with what you need. Man, this is a prayer that we can have. Not just in the next days, but man, just going forward. Help me to know you in a way that fills me up with everything that you have provided for me. He called it a gift, didn't he? He said, I have a gift for you. That if you only knew what it was, it would shift your whole perspective. Does this sound like an effect of an encounter? Amen? It changes you. Jesus is no longer just a passerby. He's changing us. He's changing her whole life. He's transforming her. Amen? And what does it require? If you only knew. Oh, man. Oh, Father, just by your Spirit here today. Open the eyes of our understanding. Flood them with light, Lord God. Lord, like Paul's Ephesians prayer, Lord, make it known the great magnitude, the power of what we were attained with in Christ. And turn our hearts to become the ones that are seeking that continually, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, let's go to John 14:6. I'm going to read through this. It has to do with love. But it's where it's the effect that's going to be made. So with the woman at the well, it was interesting what happened to her after he spoke that reply to her. He actually began to read her mail to tell her that she had been with several different husbands, that a lot of different things had happened. And you know what? She wasn't getting offended by it. She was getting delivered by it. And what did it do to her, though? The effect of an encounter with Jesus at the well wasn't just to free her. It was to turn her life into one with purpose now. Immediately, she goes back into town and starts telling everybody. It changed who she was. Amen? And this is the effect that needs to happen. We don't need to be affected by the world. We need to affect the world. Amen? And it all has to do with what we're seeking during this time. Amen. When we seek him, we find him. Amen. When we're looking his direction, we're going to see him. Amen. But it needs to begin to have a transformational effect upon us. Let me read this, okay? This is really good. It says, Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto me, but unto the Father, except through me. If you had really known me. You know, he's talking to disciples here. And they're saying, show us the Father. And he's saying, do you know me? And this is kind of a clue because he wants us to get to the same place. People should be able to know the Father because we do. Because our face is looking in the right direction. Amen? If you'd really known me, you would know who my Father is. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Now, Jesus is getting on the faith side of this. He's saying, we got this now because you see me now, right? Now you know the Father. And it's amazing how humans can be. Philip responds, don't you like this? Lord, show us the Father. Jesus just said, you know the Father, didn't he? And we will be satisfied. Can you kind of see that what we have before us in the presence of Jesus is something that's going to take some revelation, but it's going to need to be honored. Amen? Because Jesus said, man, you see me, you know the Father. Jesus replied, I have been with you all this time, Philip, and yet you still don't know who I am. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So why are you asking me to show him to you? Why could Jesus say this? It's because he spent night after night in the presence of his Father, seeking his face, appreciating the presence of the one that was his Father. Amen? So that he had encounters with his Father continually that meant more to him than anything else. And because of that, he could stand in front of anybody and say, you see me? You see the Father. It's because an encounter with somebody is going to change who you are. And if you're having an encounter with God, it has to change who you are. Amen? It's not going to be in a small way. It's not just going to be a nice, nice person now. It comes with power. Amen? We'll see this, okay? Anyone who's seen me has seen the Father. So why are you asking me to show him to you? Man, you sense a little frustration here? All right. Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I speak are not my own, but my Father who lives in me and does his work through me. What's he talking about? He's saying, I have an encounter with the Father that is complete. You know what? That Jesus would not have been able to do what he did without these encounters with his Father, right? In fact, he was doing something that he came as the Son of God, but it required his pursuit of his Father for him to fulfill his purpose as a man. Can you see that? And he's saying, this is not just me doing this. This is me showing you how it's done. All right? He lives in me and does his work through me. He does his work through me. Just believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe because of the work you have seen me do. What's he saying? All those works that Jesus did, those miracles, signs, and wonders, what was the reason for them? Just to get accolades and help his resume, his newsletter, get fans, get a buzz going? No, it was to validate his relationship with his Father. That's what he's saying, right? He's saying, if you don't believe in me, or you don't believe it because of the works that say that it's true. Because somebody that has an encounter with the great Almighty will have power working in their life. Is that right? Now, here's where he gets to with this. He says, I tell you the truth. Anyone. Now, he's been talking about himself here, but now he gets right. Man, this gets personal now. This gets like right in our face. This is like, what? We don't get out. This can happen to us too, right? Anyone who believes in me will do the same works. Huh. Why? Because they're not just believing in me. They're not just, what are we believing in him? We're believing in his power. We're believing in his status. We're believing in his name. There's so much to believe in him that, man, if we're not impressed in his presence, we just haven't looked at it. We just haven't been looking at him. Is that right? He says, because if you really believe in me, there's going to be an encounter validation that comes out in your life. It's going to change who you are. And there's going to be works that, just like me with my Father, validate that I know him. That's going to validate that you know me. Amen? All right. I have done, let's see. I tell you the truth. Same works I have done, and even greater works, because I'm going to be with the Father. Isn't that amazing? That's some amazing stuff. Did I twist anything? I think it was pretty straightforward, isn't it? He's saying that an encounter with Jesus will change who you are to the point that you start doing the same stuff he did. Is that right? Not just being a nice person, not just going to church on Sunday, having a lifestyle that's completely changed. Now you encounter somebody and they get changed just because you know him. And somebody asks you about the Father and you say, haven't you known me? If you know me, you know my Father. Right? That's how it should be. Is that right? But what does it require? It actually requires us knowing our Father, elevating who he is. Amen? That's why, now, I'm just preaching to the choir. This is what we're already doing and everything else. Praise God. It's already in our back pocket. But maybe we can go a little bit more with it. Amen? We can press into this possibility that we have. He's with us all the time. There's an encounter opportunity all the time. What's it going to look like? Well, it's going to look like us praising Him. It's going to look like us magnifying Him. But it's going to look like us being transformed by Him. Amen? All right. Did you like how I did that kind of loud? All right. 1 Corinthians 2:8. Let me just read through this one too. Don't have to be affected by the world, but become affectors of the world in love. But the rulers of the world have not understood it. Had they, if they had, what are we talking about? About who Jesus was. The rulers of the world didn't know who He was. Right? If they had, they would not have crucified our glorious Lord. That is what the scripture means when it says, no eye is seen, no ear is heard, no mind is imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. But it was to us that God revealed these things. What does that mean? That there's revelation, that there's knowledge of what happened in Him, right? By the Spirit. For Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. No one can know a person's thoughts except that person's own spirit. And no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. And we have received God's spirit. What is He saying? I actually wrote a song about this that my wife and I sing. It's a beautiful song. You need to listen to it. It's, eye is not seen, ears not heard, neither is it entered into the heart of man. Look, all that God has done for us. But we don't get off the hook just saying we don't know. Because He says it's been revealed to us by His Spirit. Amen? All right. So what does it take for that encounter to take place? It's a spiritual thing that takes place. It's not something that's thrown in our lap and we have to say, well, we have to do something else now. No, it's a work of the Spirit. Amen? That we yield to. Praise God. Let's keep going here. I just got a couple more. Acts 4:13, y'all doing good? Can you can tell who you've been by what you are producing? So there's going to be evidence in our life. I've made this point pretty strong, but there's an example in Acts 4:13 that talks about this specifically. And it says they could tell who he had an encounter with by what they were doing. Somebody in our life will be able to know. This is really precious stuff because it takes it out of just being about me and it takes it into a ministry side. Somebody else gets to know life because I've experienced it myself. Is that right? Yeah. The members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures. They also recognized them as men who had been, what? With Jesus. We don't have to study or nothing. No. I'm just kidding. I'll tell you what, though. It puts us on the same level as anybody. Amen? We get revelation in Him. We get a revelation and an encounter with Him. And we don't have to feel intimidated by any other ministry, any other. No, we have a direct connection with the Almighty God. Is that right? Because what is the main difference is who we're with. Not what we know yet. He'll reveal all those things to us by His Spirit. But the most important thing is who we're with. Amen? All right. Got one more here. With our encounters, knowing of Him that provides a way for others. So every time, what do we say? Every time we're affected by somebody's presence, it's changing who we are to some extent. And God's design is for that to become something that changes somebody else through us. Amen. But you are not like that. He said, you're not like those people in the world that are just self-consumed. For you have been chosen by God Himself. Now here's the cool thing about this. We're talking about how God is with us all the time, and we can really honor that. We can elevate it, and we can be affected by a knowledge of who He actually is, right? But what's really amazing is He looks at us, and He's impressed with us. That's kind of a hard one, isn't it? Like, wow, God, He's chosen us. for a purpose. Is that amazing? You are priests of the King. You are holy and pure. Wow. This is how God sees us. This is not just a one-way thing. It's kind of like we were talking about last week. God has some praises for us. He desires for us to fulfill our role. Amen? You are holy and pure. You are God's very own. All this so that you may show to others how God called you out of the darkness into His wonderful light. Amen? What's the purpose? He says, when you encounter me, you encounter a transformation of what I've made you to be with a purpose of showing others what it's like. Amen? This is real. My wife and I watched this movie about Bonhoeffer. I don't know if anybody's heard Bonhoeffer. I'm throwing some German names out here today. But this was a minister during the Second World War. And I don't know, it hit me in the middle of that movie, you know. In the middle of the Nazi regime, every one of those officers, and they always depict it with a lot of arrogance, as if what they're doing is going to go on forever. And they don't know that it's just like a year or two, and they're out of here. Not just out of here. I mean, they're demolished. The way things appear to be at the moment, we cannot go on. Amen? There's a reality that's much bigger than this world around us right now. Aren't you glad that there's been some changes and the pendulum might be swinging a little bit? And it's interesting, you think, other people think it's going in the wrong direction. Isn't that amazing? It's like how perspectives. But I'll tell you what, that's why in the middle of all of this is not to get our perspectives hung up on all these other pendulums that are swinging, but to get them established upon a rock that's not swinging anywhere, and it's established forever. Amen? And what we're talking about here is a reality. Whether we get hooked up with it right now or not, every knee's going to bow. Amen? Everybody's going to find out that this is what we're talking about today is true. This God is an almighty God. He's a selfish God. He cares about whether we choose Him or not. He's a jealous God. Amen? And we have an opportunity in His grace, in His mercy. Man, one of the things we taught about with praise is His mercies endure forever. What does that mean? We never have a right on our own. We never have a right in our own merit to even advance to His throne in the least, but by His mercies. But by His grace, amen? By His grace, we can come boldly into the throne of grace. And we can find help. What does that mean? He's not just anybody in there. He's the one that will make a difference in any area of our life.